All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. As always, we try to take these kind of obscure legal cases, and today we're looking at McLean v. Northwest Natural Gas Company, which comes to us from Oregon in 1970. And it might not seem like much on the surface, but it's really one of these cases that, if you think about it, really changed how we think about who is responsible when something inherently risky causes harm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is one of those cornerstone cases. If you really want to understand this whole concept of strict liability and, how the law is trying to balance the fact that we need these industries. Some of them are kind of dangerous by their nature, but we also got to keep people safe, right? So that's what we're going to be doing in this deep dive. We're really going to try to unpack this. Look at what happened in McLean, how the court reasoned about it, why it still matters all these years later. And we're going to be using the actual court documents and some really interesting analysis to help us along the way.
Right. And that's what I love about this show. We always go back to the original sources. And as we get into this, the thing I want you listening to think about is this. When you've got something that's just inherently risky, right? And something goes wrong, even if nobody messed up, nobody was careless, who should be held responsible? So let's jump into McLean and see if we can get some answers.
All right, so let's set the scene here. We're in Portland, Oregon, Northwest Natural Gas Company. They've got these big storage tanks for natural gas, and there's some construction work going on at their property. And well, a leak happens. Gas gets into one of the storage tanks and it explodes. And tragically, a worker is killed.
Yeah, I mean, just a horrific event. And of course, the worker's family sued for wrongful death, right? But here's where it gets interesting, right off the bat. The trial court dismissed the case, and they did it using something called a demurrer. And I know some of our listeners might not be lawyers. Basically, what that means is the defendant saying, even if everything the plaintiff is claiming is true, there's just no legal basis for the case. So it's like, get this case out of here right at the beginning.
Yeah, huge, huge decision right there by the trial court. It's basically saying, look, we don't even think this idea of strict liability could possibly apply here. But the worker's family, they weren't having it. They appealed and they took it all the way to the Oregon Supreme Court. So now the big question before the highest court in Oregon is, does storing all this natural gas in this situation, does that automatically mean the gas company is legally responsible for the harm, even if they weren't, negligent?
So that's the big question, right? We've got this question of strict liability. So what were the arguments? What was the worker's family saying to try and convince the Supreme Court that this dismissal was wrong?
Well, the plaintiff's main argument rested on this idea of strict liability, right? And this goes back to a pretty famous English case, Rylands v. Fletcher, you probably heard of it, where they established this idea that if you bring something dangerous onto your property, something that's likely to cause trouble if it gets out, you're strictly liable for any damage. So that, plus the American Law Institute's restatement of torts, that big collection of legal principles, that's what formed the basis for their case. They argued that having all that flammable natural gas in a big city like Portland, that's abnormally dangerous. And if you're doing something abnormally dangerous, they're saying you've got to be held strictly liable, even if you did everything right to prevent it.
Abnormally dangerous? I mean, it does make sense, right? When you're talking about something like natural gas, which is so volatile, right? And especially in a city. So what was the company's response to that? What were they saying? Why did they think they shouldn't be strictly liable here?
So Northwest Natural Gas was basically saying, hey, we're providing a crucial service here. We're a public utility, we have to store natural gas as part of what we do. And importantly, they pointed out, look, we're doing this with the government's blessing. We're authorized to do this. Their argument was basically that if you slap strict liability on a company like ours, a regulated industry that's providing something everyone needs, well, that's going to cause problems. It's not right. They're basically saying, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we got permission.
So we have this clash, right? On the one hand, you have this inherently risky activity, and then on the other hand, it's something that we need, it's essential, and it's even legally allowed. Really interesting tension there. So what did the Oregon Supreme Court, what did they do? How did they rule?
Well, they sided with the worker's family. They reversed that trial court's decision and said, yes, strict liability does apply when you're storing this much natural gas in a city in these circumstances.
Okay, so that's their decision. But what was their reasoning? What were the key things that led them to that conclusion?
They had a few major points. First, that idea of abnormal danger. They said that storing something as volatile as natural gas right in the middle of a city, that's just inherently risky. They called it extraordinary. Their point was, Even if you do everything by the book, take every safety precaution, you still can't completely eliminate the chance of a really bad accident, something with serious consequences.
So they weren't really focusing on whether the gas company had been negligent, right? It was more about the fact that the activity itself was just dangerous in that location.
Exactly. And that actually leads right into their second point. Location, location, location. The court made it very clear that storing natural gas in a city like Portland, that's very different from storing it, say, out in the middle of nowhere. The fact that it was in a densely populated area where so many people could be affected, that was a big deal to them. So one of the things that McLean really highlights is that the same activity, you know, can be judged differently depending on where it's happening.
That makes sense. You'd think about it differently if it was, you know, in the desert somewhere versus in a city with lots of people.
Right, exactly. And their third point, they dealt with this thing called on-premises harm. So traditionally, some people thought about strict liability, especially from that Rylands v. Fletcher case, that it only applied if the dangerous stuff actually left your property and caused harm elsewhere. But the Oregon Supreme Court said, nope, that's not how we see it. They said the main thing is how dangerous the activity itself is. It doesn't matter if the harm happens on your land or spills over to someone else's. So basically, McLean kind of shifted the focus. It wasn't just about something escaping your property. It was about the basic danger of what you were doing in that location.
That's a pretty big change, right? I mean, expanding the scope of strict liability like that.
Oh, yeah, a big change. And then their last main point dealt with the gas company's argument that, hey, we're a public utility. The government said we could do this. The court said, nope. That doesn't give you a free pass. Mm-hmm. They basically said that even if you have permission to do something, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. If it's really dangerous and something bad happens, you're still responsible. So it's like, just because you're allowed to do something doesn't mean you're not responsible for the risks.
Yeah, so even if the government gives you the thumbs up, if what you're doing is inherently dangerous in that spot, you're still responsible.
Exactly. Now, there's one more interesting thing. They touched on this legal idea of assumption of risk. You know, like if the worker knew his job was risky and accepted that, could his family still sue? But the court didn't really rule on that. They said there wasn't enough information at that.
Right. So a lot of legal nuances here. So this idea of abnormal danger is really central here. How did the court decide if something was abnormally dangerous? What was their test?
They had a three-part test, mainly from that restatement, second of torts we were talking about earlier. The first part is the activity unusual for the area. So like storing tons of natural gas in a city, probably unusual, but a regular factory, maybe not.
Right, like you said, location matters.
Yeah, that's the first part. Second, does it have a high risk of causing serious harm? Well, natural gas, obviously explosions are a big risk. And third, can you eliminate that risk even if you're super careful? And the court said with natural gas, even with all the safety measures, there's always gonna be some risk.
So if something checks all those boxes, unusual for the area, high risk of harm, can't eliminate the risk, then it's abnormally dangerous and strict liability could be on the table.
Yeah, exactly. And they found that in this case, Northwest Natural Gas's storage operation, it met all three. To give you another example, think about blasting with explosives. Doing that in a city, that's pretty unusual, right? And obviously super risky. But doing controlled blasting out in the desert, that might be different. That first part of the test, you know, whether it's unusual, it really depends on the location.
Right. That example really helps make that clear. Now, I know our sources mentioned a concurring opinion from Justice McAllister. Did he agree with the majority? What was his take?
He agreed with the outcome, you know, sending the case back to the trial court. But he had a slightly different view on this question of abnormal danger, whether something's abnormally dangerous. He didn't think it should be up to the judge to decide that. He thought it should be a question for the jury, based on all the evidence.
So instead of the judge saying, yep, this is abnormally dangerous, legally speaking, he thought the jury should hear everything and decide.
Exactly. And that's a big difference in how a case goes, you know, practically speaking, whether something's a question of law for the judge or a question of fact for the jury. If it's for the judge, they're looking at legal precedents and principles. If it's for the jury, they're weighing the evidence using their own judgment. And actually, this whole question of abnormal danger, whether it's for the judge or the jury, it's still debated in different courts. So it's not settled law everywhere.
Really interesting stuff. You know, it shows how even when judges agree on the end result, they can have different ideas about how to get there. It's important for law students to understand those nuances. So let's bring it back to our listeners. Why does this case, you know, from 1970, why does it still matter today? What are the big takeaways? What should people remember from McLean?
Well, one thing is that really broadened how we think about strict liability, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't just about something literally escaping your property anymore. It was about the location and how unavoidable the risk was, even if you took all the precautions you could.
And it made it clear that even if you're a public utility, even if the government said you could do this, that doesn't protect you from strict liability if what you're doing is super dangerous. You're still accountable.
Right. And another important point, McLean said that in strict liability cases, the person who's been harmed, they don't have to prove that the other side was careless. They just have to prove that the activity itself was abnormally dangerous and that it caused the harm. That's different from a regular negligence case.
So thinking about today, where do we see this stuff coming up? Where are the principles from McLean still being used?
Well, think about environmental law. Cases about pollution, contamination, that kind of thing. If a company is doing something that's inherently risky for the environment, even if they say they're being careful, McLean could be used to argue for strict liability. Same thing with industrial accidents, you know, if dangerous processes or materials are involved. Basically, anytime there's a high risk of harm and you can't eliminate that risk, no matter how careful you are, McLean is going to be relevant.
So it comes down to this. Sometimes it doesn't matter if someone made a mistake. If the activity itself is just really dangerous, the people doing it are the ones who have to bear the responsibility.
Exactly. It's about balancing the good that comes from some activities, you know, like providing natural gas, with the risk that something terrible could happen, and making sure that the responsibility for that risk is placed in the right place. It makes you think about other things too, besides natural gas. What about nuclear power? Or making and storing toxic chemicals?
Yeah, that's a great question to leave people thinking about. And you know, understanding these big cases, these landmark cases like McLean, it really helps us sort through those complex legal, ethical questions, especially as technology keeps advancing and the potential for harm, you know, it kind of comes along with that.
Keep learning, everyone.
Yeah.
Keep digging into these cases. McLean really shapes how we think about risk, responsibility, and the law in today's world.
Thanks for listening. And as always, we encourage you to dive deeper into these topics. That's what the Deep Dive is all about.